stop persistence as our history's real. A song will can shine like gold.
Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. We're at Tamarack. This is Woodrow Wilson, class of 1967, 55th reunion. And our guest right now is Gary Mikey and Nick Rahal. Welcome to have you guys.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
Good to be with you, Wayne.
And glad to have, I got a couple questions. Gary, did you have a favorite teacher when he was at Woodrow?
Miss Amato.
Miss, really?
Yeah. For some reason, I took a liking to her. I had her for bookkeeping and so forth, financing.
What about you, Nick?
Well, I can think of several. Miss Kessinger I had for English. Then there was Miss Summers I had for Latin class. Of course, old Paul Venneri was there doing everything in his masterful, funny way.
What did Paul teach in high school?
Jim, I think.
He did.
I know he was our golf
principal.
Coach. We were a golf team.
Paul was vice principal, too, right?
No, he was.
I think he was vice principal.
Okay. Yeah, because he was at Beckley Junior High when I was.
Yes, sir.
I was behind
him. And when he gave me my first spanking.
Yeah, you
real
like
hard paddling in front of the whole class.
Yes. He would always catch your inside of your leg with that paddle.
He'd wind up, those bow legs would get wobbling, and his hands would be going like this, and he would whack.
Well, I had the distinction of getting one of the last paddlings that Van Meter ever gave when he was a principal at Beckley Junior High. And I reminded him of that years later because I was accused of the wrongdoing and I didn't do. But
I did what I was accused of. I stepped in the mud at recess.
Oh, my gosh.
And tracked the hall when I came back in. And he had warned us not to step in the mud at recess.
We wouldn't listen.
Well, Gary, what's one thing you'd do different if you had to go through high school again? What?
Well, I got to say one thing about Woodrow Wilson, and I said this about the whole class of '67, and I spoke to several people last night about it, and they agreed with me. I'm married to a girl for 53 years now. She's from Cleveland, and she talks about how they had cliches and cliques in school, and I got to say, in Beckley, in our class especially, they were very, very, very few of them. Everybody played together. They went swimming together. They skated together, and they got along together.
That's great.
I feel that Beckley was one of the best towns I lived in for people and inner companionships with each other as far as relationships.
Sure.
I still feel that way.
Yeah.
Beckley is unique for that. You know, and Woodrow was very, very unique. To be different, I'd probably study a little harder.
Or study any at all.
I was going to say that.
Well, Nick, what would you do a little different?
Oh, I don't know. I might have studied harder, yes. That certainly would have pleased my parents and would have made my first years in college a lot easier. But it was difficult, actually. I recall chemistry class, for example, our senior year, Chuck Gerald's father had health issues. He was the only chemistry teacher the county could find. And when he went out on sick leave, we didn't have chemistry the whole year. And I got to college and chemistry was required my first year. And here I didn't even have it in high school. So there was a lot that wasn't our fault. It was the county's.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure it was the county's fault, but they could have found replacement teachers, I feel.
When you think about now, they can't even find substitutes for teachers.
Yeah.
What kind of activities were you involved with, Gary?
I was with stage crew. Helped set up stage, tear stage down. Other than that, basically trying to stay out of trouble.
Were you involved with the operetta that they had with Tom Sawyer?
No.
No.
I remember that, but anything I did was help setting up stage and tearing it down and changing the architect from one scene to another scene.
Yeah.
You know, there was like eight of us doing that, you know.
Nick, I know you were manager.
The football and basketball teams. And we were, of course, state champions two of our 3 years in high school in basketball under Preach Wiseman. But I was basically involved in like civic activities. I was president of the Key Club. Jeff Britton was our sponsor. And that took me around the city and county quite a bit, speaking before groups. It also provided me legitimate official excuses to get out of Miss Summers' Latin class often, which made her mad. And also involved in the junior Beckley-Raleigh County Chamber of Commerce with Pete Tirico. Pete and I were involved in that, and I see Francis Edwards just walked in. We were involved with a lot of community projects at that time. I still have the newspaper clips of us planning, for example, various high school events. I think homecoming parade and stuff like that. So I was quite active in community projects.
Kept you pretty busy. The JCs after high school. You remember when they had the pink elephant underneath the stage at the Y that used to have a nightclub? It was a teenage nightclub.
Okay. Yes,
and
I do.
I think John Gates and a couple of them guys. I can't. Danny probably remember that.
Yeah.
But they had a teenage nightclub. They only sold Cokes, and then they'd have a band every once in a while, and it was like the supper club of high school
kids.
You're
not talking about the bus station, are you?
Do what?
Above the Greyhound bus station? Yeah, Kingtown.
it was kind of a lot of different activities at that time. But what would be one bit of advice that you would give a high school senior, someone graduating, just graduating?
Get involved. Get involved in community projects. Take an interest in what's happening around you. Read the newspapers, learn about what's going on. You can play and have fun. At the same time, you ought to study and study hard. And you can do both.
Gary, what about you?
Same thing. Take on your responsibilities. Today's children are not taught at home by their parents to behave and to listen. That has to be enforced. But the children and the kids today growing up need to be active and listen to what's going on in this world. And we're not headed in that direction. The way I see it.
I tell you one thing, you ought to learn that you can't sneak anything over on your parents.
Yeah.
I thought I had one time when Palmer Walker and I got caught underage buying beer, and we got caught by the police in some alley off Prince Street, took us in the police station, wanted to know who bought it for us, said, listen, boys, you tell us who bought it for you, and your parents will never know about this night. So I didn't know who the guy was. Palmer did, and I don't know whether he ratted or not. But nevertheless, they let us go, and I thought everything was cool until a year or two later, graduation night, Dad says, it's a long way since you answered those police questions at the police station, isn't it, son?
Oh, they found
so
out
he
everything.
Knew about it all along.
They found out everything.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys drive to school or ride a bus, or you lived close to the school, didn't you?
Park Junior High, yeah, I walked a lot.
Yeah, I had a motorbike. I drove, but I had a motorbike, a little Yamaha 150, 160, actually.
What kind of music did you listen to?
Rock, mellow rock.
What do you listen to now?
Mostly oldies. I like the oldies stations still yet. I lean more toward the country and western. When I was a kid, I didn't like country and western, but I lean more to that now.
What about you, Nick?
Well, I, of course, listened to what the popular music of the day was. I was a part-time disc jockey at my father's radio station, WWNR. I had a show of my own on Sunday evenings, the deadest time of the week. I got to have my own show on radio. And I'd invite student leaders in Woodrow, sometimes faculty members, come and talk about what was going on at Woodrow and what the issues of the day were. I had fun with it. Don't know that anybody ever listened to it, but I had fun. And whenever I was playing music, I remember there was one song by Engelbert Humperdinck, who had the longest. It was like a 4-minute song, and whenever I had to go to the restroom, I put his song on. Today it's all automated, you know, it's a lot different. But in those days, the disc jockey had to cue up the record on the turntable. And started, but today you just slip in a tape or just play a tape.
Right.
It's also automated.
Did you have a secret crush in high school, Gary?
No, not really. A few of the girls, but I went out with a few girls out of MacArthur when I skated. I lived on skates two or three nights a week in MacArthur.
I think they tore that skating rink down, didn't they?
Yeah, they tore it down, right? Did it tear down already?
I believe so.
Yeah. My dad, when he was a boy, skated there. That's how old that place was.
Yeah.
It's been there for many, many moons.
What about you, Nick? Any secret crushes?
Oh, yeah. There's so many. I can't think of them.
This is going out to thousands of people.
We like them all.
Yeah. I had so many, I can't even name them.
You don't want to name them.
Well, you both sound like you've had pretty eclectic lives.
Yes, sir.
And you're... Obviously, you're pleased. You mm-hmm. wouldn't be here on the 55th reunion, but glad to have you guys.
I
glad
graduated.
You came by to see us, and hope you enjoy this rest of the evening.
Well, I graduated in 67, and a week later, I already had a job lined up in the 10th grade at Ford Motor Company in Cleveland, Ohio. And I went into Ford. They sent me to Cleveland State and paid for it. And I went in sweeping the floor for $3.48 an hour. In 67, which wasn't
good
bad money back then.
No.
And I retired when I was 48, and I was a general superintendent of operations of the building. So I had a good career with Ford. And after I retired, 4 months later, they called me back as a consultant, and I went to Germany, England, Sweden, and Denmark with Ford Motor Company for 4 years on and off.
Oh, that's great.
So I had a great career with Ford.
And Nick, you're planning a second... political career, I'm sure.
In high school?
No, here now.
Oh, now? I was born at night, but not last night. The answer to that's an absolute, unequivocal no, no, and no.
So you had enough
money. You heard it
first. Oh, my gosh.
Heard it first. You guys, I appreciate you coming by.
Hey, thank you, Wayne.
She wants to get a picture of us.
Okay.
Our next guests are Bruce Vest and Dan Bailey. Welcome, fellas.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
And, Bruce, I used to coach a boy named Bruce. I don't know. He was a wrestler.
Hey, it was my son.
He wrestled for me at Park Junior High.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I loved him. He was tough.
He was tough.
He was one of those guys that started a little later, and he came on, and I really tell him to coach Bennett.
Very proud of him. Yeah, he did well at the States when he went and everything else. He was a hard worker.
Well, good.
He's living in Florida now, so.
Well, Dan, I know you've been involved in a lot of music over the years, for sure. And we were tossing some things around on Facebook the other day. Did you play with Soul Sid and Red Barons, the Imperials? And...
Guilty of all of that. Yes, absolutely.
TaylorMade. And are you still playing?
I played with TaylorMade, actually, last night.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm still active and still playing. I'm playing with Lady D, who is a local blues singer.
Uh-huh.
And there's a jazz group I play with.
And Bruce, what kind of activities were you involved in high school, if any?
Well, I'm one of those high school people that just sat back and went to school. I didn't do any extracurricular activities or anything. People like Danny, you know, was busy after hours playing music and everything, or Nick, everything. But I just, you know, after I got out of high school and went to college for a little bit, I came back and opened my own business in Beckley for a while. And it was Beckley Service Center.
I remember.
I had it for a while. And now I'm raised my kids. I got all kinds of grandkids and stuff, and I'm still working on the turnpike every day. So,
How long did you have the Beckley Service Center?
It was 11 years.
And where did you learn to work on vehicles?
Sam Raimi. When Raimi's Amoco, many, many moons ago, I used to work for Sam after hours. We'd wash cars, we'd repair cars. I thought Sam was the greatest human being on the face of the earth one time. Sam said something, it was gospel. And when Sam passed away and that place became available, I went and got it.
Well, I always heard good things about your business. And
I appreciate that.
And
we tried. I tried. I had good people. I had John Gallagher there, which was Sam Raimi's son, and I had a couple of people, good workers there. But we tried.
Yeah.
We gave everybody our best.
Well, Dan, you were, besides playing in groups in high school, Were you involved in any other activities at school, or did you have time?
Well, I was more or less playing the role of the bad boy who just wanted to get out of school. No, I mean, I had good friends, and I got along with everybody. But as far as, you know, being a really responsible high school student with an eye on the future, hell no.
There you go.
You know, come on. And, you know, it was this my mindset at the time and what I was into at the time. And I just thought, well, if I can just get out of here and start doing my own thing, then I'll be a lot better off. But, you know, it was a special time. And you let a lot of things pass you by that you look back and say, well, you know, I think probably, you know, I would have been better off if I had branched out and made more friends and had a wider circle of friends.
Uh-huh.
You know, than I had, but everybody kind of had their own little groups, yeah, and their own little cliques in high school.
That's exactly right.
And they kind of gave you a place to belong and a place to shelter yourself. Shelter from what, I'm not sure, but I would probably do that a little differently if I had the chance. You know?
Yeah. What about teachers at Woodrow? Bruce, did you have any teachers that stood out to you, or just somebody you just liked? Or,
well, you know, they always said when I was in high school that Mrs. Vass, she was the meanest old lady there, and I thought the world of her. She treated me decent. I delivered her newspapers, you know, when I was growing up. And
she was an English teacher.
Yeah.
Senior English
teacher.
You know, I had her for class, and she was fine.
Yeah, but everybody said she was a mean old lady, but I thought the world of her. I really did.
It's funny you'd say that, because her name has come up several times this evening, and she's definitely on my list as a favorite, because I had her in school, and the reason I went into teaching English was because of her.
Yeah.
To me, she didn't treat you any different than if you were the poorest kid in the class or the richest kid. Everybody was kind of the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what I thought.
And I kind of appreciate it.
You know, everybody was the same, but now, you know, if you wanted to argue with her or make it tough for her, she knew how to answer you.
But that was, you guys were the last class at Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, the old Woodrow, which is now Park Junior High.
And I brought a door that you guys can sign before you leave. It'll be 100 years old in 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
And I need to get you to sign it. It came out of the
Bruce.
Boys Phys Ed room.
Thank you.
But what's in the future for you now? I mean, you've been in the music business.
Well, musicians don't really retire.
Yeah,
they just keep playing until they can't play anymore. So I'm active now. I have a recording studio. So I'm actively doing that quite a bit, and I'm still teaching guitar and playing with bands. So I'm still in the game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've got a father-in-law that's 91 that still plays in a band,
yeah.
The Southern Three.
And as long as you can work your fingers.
Well, he plays the bass, and he has a hard time fingering.
Probably bass players have a longer career.
Let me just say something about Danny. He played Taylor May. They played at one of our class reunions. Remember at Black Knight?
Yeah, that's right.
And I'll never forget, Mike George was our class president, and he was there that time, and he had me take a picture of him and Danny. He said, Danny's going to be famous one of these days, and I need my picture taken with him. Mike was so excited to get his picture taken with Danny.
I brushed the sleeves of fame, but I probably never quite got there.
But I'll never forget that as long as I live. Mike was so excited over that.
Well, guys, I hate to rush you, but Pete just gave me a finger I don't want to take you out of the group picture. So I appreciate you coming by. And
thank you.
And nice talking.
Well,
with
I enjoyed
you.
It.
And tell Bruce I said, hey.
I'll do it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Our next guests are Andy Fox and Jeanette Staten. Keith is your name now. Staten, your maiden name. Pleased to have you guys. And you guys were the cutest couple in 1967. Is that correct?
We were the cutest, yes. I don't think we were actually a couple.
We were never a couple.
We were voted. She was the cutest girl and I was the cutest man.
Well, actually, there was a earlier student that was in here that said she had a secret crush on you.
Oh, boy.
And you won't know till you hear the podcast.
Uh-oh. Oh.
So, Tell me a little bit about your, when you were there, Janet, your dad was the band director. How was there kind of added pressure because your dad was an instructor?
I'd been in his band for years, so it really, it didn't feel that much different. But I was brand new to Woodrow my senior year, so that was more of the adjustment that I had to make.
You came from Shady Spring,
yes.
Didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of other activities were you involved with?
In high school, I mean, I was with the junior historians and really mostly the band. I mean, that was my biggest thing. I taught baton at the Y for a while and then at a dance studio, but yeah, that was about it.
What about you, Andy? What were you involved with?
Boy, that's a good question. Some things I probably can't talk about here on this forum. But, I was in the student government and those kind of things. And I really it's been so long ago, I'm not so sure I remember all that.
Did you have a favorite teacher?
Yeah, probably so. I would say Mrs. Wiseman was one of my favorite teachers. And a guy named Jeff Britton, who was an English teacher.
Both English teachers?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I ended up being an engineer. And so I was the only engineer at Virginia Tech that ever made A's in English.
Any teachers that, Janet, that you had as a favorite?
Gosh, it's so hard to even remember the names of them. But I had an English teacher that I did like. I think it was Mrs. Voss. Was that
Mrs. Vass was 12th grade?
That was it.
Yeah.
Yes, I liked her.
Yeah, the 12th grade, you had Vass and Sumners, or I think she was a social studies teacher. But Mrs. Vass's name has come up quite a bit.
Yeah,
she was tough, but she was a good teacher. What would you do different, Andy, if you was in high school now, knowing what you know? What would you do different?
Wow, that's a really hard question. probably looking back, not a whole lot. I ended up going into the mining business, and I didn't know anything about mining when I was in high school. And I went to college, and I decided I was going to be a mining engineer. And I came home and told my father, who his father and he had immigrated from Canada to be coal miners. And when I went home and told him I was going to be a mining engineer, he said, "I'd buy you books and send you to school, and you get dumber and dumber and dumber." So, having said that, I wouldn't change anything. Things turned out pretty well.
Janet, what would you do different? Anything?
I can't really think of anything that I would have done differently. Yeah, I was honestly just as a new person my senior year, I was just trying to adapt, and so, you know, and to a new environment. And yeah, I just honestly, it was the best thing that happened to me. I didn't want to go there because I wanted to finish out. You know, I'd been 3 years at another high school. And, of course, my dad, you know, there's no way I could have gone back and forth, you know, to that school. So, but it was the best thing that happened to me. I think it sent my life in a different direction. And the students were wonderful. They were friendly and just a lot more social than the school I'd been at. And, I mean, the other kids were great, too, but there was just a different atmosphere. So my sister and I both loved the change. We just felt like the students were just very welcoming.
What did you go into after high school?
I went to WVU and became an elementary school teacher. And then I went back later and got a master's in counseling. And I feel like my whole life's been learning, actually, you know, constantly. So, yeah. But definitely love to work with children, and, you know, that was always...
Do you still play music?
I actually got into drumming and the native flute, so I've kind of, you know, branched out a little bit. That's something that I enjoy, but I haven't picked up my clarinet in many years.
What kind of music did you listen to, Andy, in high school? You remember?
Towards the end, I remember the Temptations and the Four Tops. Those were... two of my favorites.
The Motown.
Motown type stuff, yes, yes.
Did you drive a car when you went to high school?
I drove a car, but it was my mother's car. I didn't get my first car until I was a junior in college, and I bought it myself. So I wasn't one of those kids that got a sixth car when I was 16 that handed it to me, no.
Well, they didn't have as many parking spaces at the old school either.
Well, the funny thing is, I actually bought that car from Pete Trico's dad. And I would see him years later out at King Tut's on the Christmas lot. And he told me, he said, you know what I made off that deal? I made $25 commission. He said, you're the hardest bargainer I ever dealt with.
What kind of advice would you give someone graduating as a counselor? You may give advice, but someone graduating from high school now, what kind of advice would you give?
I would just say follow your heart. You know, the things that you really love to do, try to create a way to you know, be able to do that. Because I think a lot of times there's pressure to choose things that maybe you aren't that interested in, but you know you'll make money at it. And I think it's much more important that you want to get up in the morning and go do, you know, whether it's working for yourself or someone else.
Andy, what kind of advice would you give?
Well, to my kids, part of the advice I gave them was, first you have to decide what you don't want to do. And after you decide that, then you'll can figure out what you do want to do. Again, I was working in a mine when I was 18 years old, and I figured out real quick that I didn't want to be on the back end of the shovel for the rest of my life.
There you go.
And so after that, I decided that I wanted to continue in engineering school and you know, do those kind of things later.
Janet, you were only there 1 year, but did you think that the education at Woodrow Wilson helped prepare you for the next step?
I did, yes.
Uh-huh. What about you, Andy?
Absolutely. And, you know, when you asked me about the teacher, the one I forgot about was Mrs. Radcliffe, who was a math teacher.
Yeah.
She was fantastic.
What are you most proud of, Janet?
Surviving.
55 years since high school.
Yeah, and surviving with a pretty optimistic point of view. So, yeah, I think that's it.
What about you, Andy?
Well, I'd agree with Janet on that. Surviving is a pretty big accomplishment at this point in time. But I don't know. When I went to high school, I went to Davis and Elkins and was tested, and they said I could be a doctor or I could be a lawyer. I could be just about anything I wanted to, but the only thing I couldn't be was an engineer. And so I'm glad that I took that to heart and decided I was going to become an engineer. So that was something that stuck with me.
That's great. Well, guys, I appreciate you stopping by and enjoying talking to you, and hope you have a great time the rest of the evening. And she wants to get a picture.
Okay.
Our next guests are Mary Molina and Barbara Allen, or Barbara Ratliff. Pleased to have you here. And I've got a couple questions. I know you guys must have had a good experience in high school.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of memories do you have, Barb?
They're really good memories. That's where I had so many friends. And the neat part about the reunions is that you find out you had friends you didn't know you had, which is kind of neat, you know. But I enjoyed Woodrow. It was a special time. We went to the football games and the basketball games. Oh, my gosh, you know, we were just winners all the way around that uh-huh. couple of years. But my favorite, I guess, would be singing in the chorus with Miss McClure. She was awesome.
She was tough, wasn't she?
I love to see her go after Earl Davis. Oh, my goodness. Earl would get over there and get to funning around and having a good time, and she'd go flying after him like a little hen, you know. Loved her to death, absolutely.
So, Mary, you were in chorus also?
I was, yes.
What kind of memories do you have of high school?
Oh, yeah. High school was too much fun, I think.
I remember when they did the operetta of Tom Sawyer. I don't know whether you remember that.
I do. I was in it.
Paul Ragland was in there, and he did something he wasn't supposed to be doing. And Miss McClure, this was when they were playing it for the student, but she started slamming her hands on the floor. I mean, she was wild.
Oh, she would. It was her way or no way.
What kind of music did you listen to? I mean, you sang in the
Oh, of course. I love the Beatles. Absolutely love the Beatles. And I love Petula Clark.
Oh, yeah, she was good.
And B.J. Thomas had a song out that just, I must have listened to 1,000 times.
Well, just the music that we all listened to,
yes.
The class of 67, at our last reunion. They taped and made CDs of all of our music, and it's awesome to have it there. You put it on, it's like it takes you back. It takes you back to 67, 66. Mm-hmm. I mean,
of all the songs, you're talking about the most popular songs during that time period?
It was a CD of just about everything that we all listened to.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And when you went to high school, did you ride a bus or drive a car? Or
I drove a car my senior year some when Dad was working and I could keep it with me. Otherwise, he would take me and drop me off. They didn't have school buses for city kids.
Yeah.
Kids that lived in the city, you had to walk and make it on your own.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, now I remember taking a bus.
You probably lived in the area
lived in the Bowling Addition.
Yeah.
And they did send the bus over there. Now I had an older sister, and every now and then I could coerce her into taking me to school. that was better.
That was the best way.
Well, the old school didn't have as much parking as what the new school
right,
has now.
Right.
But, not everybody had the privilege of... the only time seniors got to go through the front door was the last week of senior week. But what would you do different, Barb, if you were back in high school now, knowing what you know?
Actually,
what would you do different?
What I would do different, I thought I wanted to go to school and be a nurse, and so I switched everything over to classes that I would have to go to college and that type of thing. I had started out in admin or, secretarial and all those kind of things. I wish I had stayed there because I didn't do well with certain classes that, like Latin, and geometry.
Which nobody even used.
Right, exactly. Which you had to have
it. Medical field.
And then I had to take geometry from Coach
Wiseman.
Yes.
Geometry.
Well, and I had a friend that we sit in the back of the room, and Bruce would help me. Because I honestly saw no reason for geometry. The same thing for algebra. But anyhow, I was sitting back there, and he had told us how to do this big, long problem. And I looked over at Bruce, and he said, just a minute. So he was getting his done, and he was going to show me what to do. Well, the coach caught us talking, and he came back, and he said, with his little ruler, and he said, what are you going to do? And what's going on? And I said, well, he was going to help me. And he said, why is he helping you? I said, because he knows what he's doing, and I don't. He looked at me, and he said, well, why didn't you ask me? And I said, because I was afraid you'd bite my head off. And he looked at me, and he said, do you see anybody in here that does not have a head? And I went, no. He said, I will help you. And he did, and I made it through. Never had to go back to that class again. But he was a good teacher. He really was, and he was a good person. But he had that...
That
personality.
Who was it, Mary? Who was one of your favorite teachers? Or did you have a favorite teacher?
Well, I like Miss Summer. She was our Latin teacher.
Yeah, but she was nice.
She was rough. I mean, she was rough.
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
You had to do well.
Yes.
What advice would you give a graduating senior now? Just graduated or getting ready to graduate?
Put that cell phone away.
Exactly. I agree with you.
Put that cell phone away.
Yeah.
How can you live life with your...
I know. They just live on it.
I know.
That's something good to tell them, but they're not going to.
No.
I think they just need to know to listen to their teachers in high school, because that's where you get your basis for your life after you get out of high school. It's so different after high school.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention, learn. You've got teachers there they're there because they care.
Yeah, and then it just enjoy each other. And
exactly.
Really, and that's what living life is all about, is, friends and your experiences. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Were you two friends in school?
We knew each other
pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, which one has the biggest ego?
Oh, we don't have egos. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Do you live locally?
No.
Where do you live now?
I live in Deerfield Beach, Florida.
I live in LP, West Virginia, just outside of Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody that you, in particular, that you wanted to see tonight, but they didn't make it?
There were several, and I was looking for Susan and Sally, the Winter Twins, but they're not able to be here. And I was sad that Corinne couldn't make it because she really, really enjoys this.
Mm-hmm.
I have a good friend, Vicki Price, didn't make it. She's her husband is very ill, and she takes care of him, so she didn't make it. So there were several, you know.
Yeah.
That you'd like to see. And then I think the saddest thing, though, is our list of people, a list of classmates that we've lost.
Right.
There's so many. I mean, 115, I think, is what it was. And it seemed like the last couple of weeks, it was like one a week. And I thought, is there going to be anybody left?
Yeah.
I mean, it was, it's very sad.
Yeah, some that actually had roles in, they were going to play in the reunion itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Randy.
Yeah. Randy,
Ladies, I appreciate you coming and talking to us.
It was fun.
It wasn't too bad.
It wasn't as intimidating.
No.
Well, I hope you enjoy the rest of the evening, and we want to get a picture of us together here. Okay, our next two guests are Carla Calloway and Betty Shepherd Bradford. I'm glad to have you, ladies. And you were kind of listening into our last conversation and kind of got a little gist of what was going on. Can you tell us about your experience, Carla, in high school? Was obviously it was probably pretty good.
Yeah, we had a really good time. I was one of the band kids. I was in the band and really enjoyed that. That this time of year makes us think about band practice in the summertime and down in the Dust Bowl, and then we got to go on the big field and participate, and it was just amazing. We had a lot of fun in the band, with the band trips and everything. That was my favorite part.
And your band director, you had
Mr. Salek.
Salek at first.
And then Mr. Staten when Mr. Salek retired.
Yeah, and you're right, the Dust Bowl was kind of a punishment almost, and then when you got to be on the actual grass, it was nice.
It was very nice. It sure was.
But and Betty, were you involved in any extracurricular activities?
Well, I had been the first 2 years of high school, and then my senior year I quit band because I was trying to work and go to school, do both, and so I opted to drop out that senior year. But I loved band, and you know, when we think about it, our sophomore year, we were privileged to go to D.C. for the inauguration of Johnson. Now, people will say, well, that's not much to be proud of, but it was the experience that we were proud of. Not necessarily marching the 5 miles that we had to march to get to where we...
In January.
In January. And it was 20 below. I remember. You know, I felt my ankles were going to freeze. But I loved my senior year. And I can remember at the end of the first 6 weeks, my senior year, they always put the honor roll up on the board. And usually they would start with the highest number. The four-pointers went at the top, and three-pointers ended up at the bottom. Well, everybody was surprised that they started out on the low side. My name was at the bottom. I made 4 point, and you could have knocked me over with a feather.
Yeah, I reckon.
But from there, it was downhill. So if I had anything to do over, it would be study harder.
Well, I came from a graduating class that had 612 students because we consolidated with Stratton the first year.
Oh, okay.
But I told all my kids, I said, well, I was 44th in the class, but that was alphabetic order. I didn't tell them that, you know.
Right.
But we didn't talk about grade point averages or anything. But it was pretty competitive, you know, with that many students. What kind of music did you both? You were in the band. What kind of music did you listen to?
Probably the music of the day. Not really country western back then. We listened to the same things that the two in front of us listened, or I did.
We had Motown,
Motown
British.
Was coming up, the British, the Beatles. Mm-hmm. I heard Mary Ellen mention somebody, and I thought, yeah, I listened to him too.
Oh, I was wild about the Righteous Brothers. I thought they were just absolutely wonderful.
Absolutely. I agree.
And it's, you know, it's kind of weird, but that music is still popular.
It is very
popular. And I don't know how many original members they had, but just 2 weeks ago at Sternwheel Regatta, you had the Temptations and the Four Tops, and I think they're all dead. It's probably new guys, but they were playing the same music, and it's hung around a long time. What was something you did in high school, Carla, that you're not proud of?
Well, I'm sure there's a whole list. Well, I'm like Betty. I should have studied harder. I should have paid more attention and been a little more studious. Mm-hmm. But that's my big regret. I should have studied more. And
did you have a favorite teacher?
We were talking earlier about our typing teacher, Miss Underwood. She was very good. I was teasing one of the guys in there a while ago. He said that was one of his favorite teachers. And I said, well, she was easy on the guys, but it was really hard on us girls, because that's the way we were going to have to earn our living back then, yeah. You know, as secretarial.
What about you, Betty? Who did you have?
You know, other than having Coach Wiseman for geometry and Mrs. Summers for Latin, they were not my favorite by any means. I cannot remember my other teachers, to be honest. Now, if you asked me to go up 9 months to my nursing, I could tell you every one of them. But in high school, I guess I've drawn a blank.
I can identify with that.
Okay.
I think my whole 11th grade, I don't remember none of it. But I wasn't on drugs or anything. I just don't remember. Well, do you think the preparation you got at Woodrow helped you at the next level, Carla?
Absolutely. We had a wonderful education. We really did. I think I learned more in high school than any of the college classes that I took.
Really?
Uh-huh. We had a very good foundation as we went forward.
What about you, Betty?
I agree. Even though I wasn't in your traditional college, in nursing, we had foundations set in high school by our teachers, certain things that were expected, the way you treated other people, the way you treated your teachers, the way you dressed, the way you presented yourself. And those things stick. And you know, sadly enough, I don't think our young people are getting those qualities drilled in today,
mm-hmm.
which is sad.
It's different. It's mm-hmm. different. Now they don't even carry books. Most of the time they carry computers with
right.
them. Where did you hang out when you were in high school? If you did you hang out?
Well, the usual spots. You know, we'd go through the Pete and Bob's, and we would come uptown on Monday nights and things like that. So just the typical thing. They would have dances, I guess, in the Memorial Building.
Yeah.
We used to have dances there, and we would go there.
Yeah. Betty, where'd you hang out? Anywhere?
Most usually at church. I think just about any time the church within a half a mile from the house, and you know where I lived, all the way up to the church above Regular Baptist, the Nazarene, all the way up to that church, back to where I lived. If they were having a revival or prayer meeting, if I wasn't in prayer meeting at our church, we were at one of those churches and looked forward to being with young people, with older people. It made no difference because we were going to worship the Lord and we were going to sing and praise God. That was exciting to me. And quite honestly, it still is. I get excited when I talk about church.
Now, you had a sister.
Jenny.
She's still around?
She's in North Carolina in Kings Mountain.
Tell her if somebody from the old neighborhood was asking about
it. I sure will.
And, now, if you got a bucket list, you had a bucket list, what would be one of the things on your bucket list? What's the one thing you'd like to do that you haven't done?
Well, I love to travel, but I have not been to Ireland or Scotland, and I would love to do that. That would be a bucket list thing for me to do, was travel to one of those two countries.
What about you, Betty?
I've thought about this, too, and I'd like to go to Ireland. or Scotland, but especially Ireland, because my daughter's already been a couple of times. But I'd like to go there. And if things in the Middle East weren't so intense, I would love to go to the Holy Land. But I just, and I know God is in control of everything, and it's, so it's hard for me to say this, I'm just not sure that I trust people that's not going to kidnap visitors, you know, in that area, and at some point get upset because I didn't say something right and wipe my head off. I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel. And yet I know that if that would happen, it was my time to go meet the Lord. I know that.
Who would you want to give a shout out to?
I have none of my relatives are in Beckley anymore.
How about you, Betty?
Let's see. I think some of our classmates that weren't able to get in tonight, Susan and Sally Winter, Aaron and Debbie Lilly, Corinne, Dolly and Tommy Eastep, and Vicki and Jerry.
I hope they're listening. Listen, ladies, I appreciate you stopping by, and it's nice talking with you, and I hope you have a very...
It's so good to see you again.
Our next guests are Sandy McDaniel Shrewsbury and Pete Tirico. Glad to have you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First question, Sandy, how much did you enjoy high school, or did you hate it? Or
I loved high school. I enjoyed being at Woodrow. There was just so many people that we knew along the way, and it was just a lot of friends, a lot to do, and I really enjoyed it.
What kind of activities were you involved with?
Well, I was in the band, and that took up a lot of time, and I started in the seventh grade, so when I got to Woodrow, it was my fourth year in the band, and you sort of had a bond with the other band members.
Uh-huh. So. And Pete, what... You worked a lot in high school,
didn't you? I did. You know, you go back to Woodrow when we were there. There were so many kids in our class. Some got out at noon. Some got out at 2. Some got out at 3. Some got out at 4. Wow. I mean, and we had classmates that we graduated with that we never saw until they walked across the stage to get their diploma. That's how many of us there were. And some of us went to school at 8, 9, 10, 11. So you never knew what... there were so many classmates, you never saw a lot of them.
Yeah.
It was different.
Well, you know, when I graduated the next year after we consolidated with Stratton, it was, you know, at our graduation, I met new people I'd never seen before. It was just so many people there.
That's
kind of sad in a way. But what did you play in the band?
I played the trumpet.
Yeah. Well, we got a trumpet player over here. You still play?
No.
did you drive a car to school?
Or? No. Either, you know, parents either brought me or that's mostly out. And then we'd catch the bus home.
Yeah.
What about you, Pete?
Well, I've got the bus for a long time. And then when my dad started working at Lewis Chevrolet, and according to my schedule, he would drop me off on the way to work, and then I'd catch the bus home until I was a senior. And when I was a senior, I had a job uptown. So I walked from school up on South Fed Street to Business Supplies, where I went to work every day till I got out at noon, and I worked till 5 o'clock every day.
Wow. Sandy, who was one of your favorite teachers?
Mr. Salick, Lynn Salick, because like I said, you know, I had him for 5 years. And I had such great respect for him, and he worked so hard. And he expected respect from the band and just did a fabulous job. He worked hard.
Now, he wasn't there the senior year.
No, he wasn't.
And how did you compare Alan?
Well, you know, I felt really sad to see him retire. But, you know, things do change. It was an adjustment, you know, because the uniforms changed and just everything seemed to change.
Yeah.
But it wasn't bad. It took a little adjustment, but we came to love Mr. Staten too.
Well, they both ended up with rather large bands and very talented bands. But
huge bands.
Pete, what's the dumbest thing you ever did in high school?
Oh God, go to school. I almost had a perfect attendance because I was a terrible student, but I loved going to school. I loved all my friends, had a good time going to school. And like I said, I was never a good student at all, but I made lots of friends and The sad part is tonight when we read off all of our friends that we have lost, it was sad. It truly was.
Do you guys remember the year that they burnt 66 in the grass?
Sure do. Poured gasoline there.
Yeah.
Poured gasoline up in there and put 66 and set it on fire.
They found them and they caught them.
They caught them.
And you could probably name, I can name a couple of them.
That's exactly right. Well, I did a little whitewashing myself. I went to Hinton. We went to Hinton every year when we played at Hinton. We would go down and whitewash the whole town. And we'd buy big bags of lime and water, and me and a bunch of buddies, we'd jump in the car and we'd go down and paint that whole town.
How'd you stay out of jail?
Well, we were fast.
Did they paint the water tower back in those days?
Well, they did. That got to where everybody, that's when they put the fence around it, because they were painting the water tower and they scared that some kid was going to fall off of it. I was never brave enough to climb the water tower.
Yeah, I didn't. That was beyond my pay scale.
Yeah, me too.
But Sandy, what kind of advice would you give someone that's graduating nowadays? What you have learned in your 55 years out of high school, what kind of advice would you give somebody? Or have you given somebody advice?
Well, I don't know about that, but I think just try to find what you have a passion for. And just try to work at that. And, you know, you may have to take a job or an education that you may not be your first choice, but do something, get started, get your foot in there and get going. And just keep striving till you reach a goal, which is like a lifelong thing.
You know, one of the things they say now that the classes that are graduating from Woodrow, probably most of them will never have reunions, simply because they don't have the bonding that we had when we were in school. You know, they don't have pep rallies anymore. We used to fill the armory for a basketball game. We filled the football stadium when we had losing teams. And we had a huge band that we always had so much respect for. When they hit the field, that there's not the camaraderie today in schools that we had when we were there. And they say most of these classes today will probably never have class reunions. And, you know, I said this earlier, I'm glad we don't do it every year, but it sure is fun doing it every 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, society's changed a lot, too.
It has.
And what kind of music did you listen to back then, Sandy?
Well, just whatever was popular, you know, the Beatles and Elvis and, you know, some of the groups. I didn't follow music. You know, all that close. I didn't buy records. I know a lot, you know, they used to sell them, those little records.
And 45s.
45s, yeah, thank you. Yeah, just whatever's on the radio.
Yeah, what about you, Pete?
I listened to whatever was hot at the time. I mean, I still have Beatles 45s. I mean, I really do. I've got stacks and stacks of vinyl. That I
bought. Vinyl's coming back.
I know it is, and I've still got stacks of it. It was just part of your life. You always had the radio on WWNR, turned up as loud as you could, and listened to rock and roll music. I mean, it was just fun.
I'd forgotten about Nick Rahal having his own show.
He did.
I knew his dad owned the radio.
That's exactly right.
And I'd forgot about that, but he played whatever was that. But Sandy, would you like to give a shout out to somebody that you wish would have come tonight, or somebody that
well, to all those that could have made it, they have missed a really great time. This has been a wonderful reunion, if not the best one.
It's been a good one.
It's been a great one. And
well, I think you got guys like Pete and the other committee members.
Right, they worked really hard.
Actually, I've heard several people say that they thought this was the most organized and the best one that they've had. And
but a lot of work has gone in, all of them, I know that, through the years, and we've enjoyed them all.
Well, and Wayne, I tell you, thank you all. Y'all have been a big part of our reunion. You know, dragging people down here, and they're like, "What am I going to talk about?" I said, "Don't worry about it. The Bennetts will take care of it. You don't have to worry. Just answer the question. He makes it real easy." Thank you all so much for doing this for our class. And I told them the good thing about this: there's going to be a lot of classmates who weren't here today that are going to hear their fellow classmates' voice, maybe for the last time. So thank you all for doing this.
Well, I've enjoyed it, and I know most of the people, and
I'm sure you did.
And a lot of the stories. And I wish we could talk longer, but you know that's there's so many that we'll try to get as many as possible.
And I would like to apologize to the classmates that I didn't get to drag down here tonight for you to talk to, because I would like to have the opportunity for you to sit down and talk to every one of them. I know that time's of the essence, and you just can't do everybody. But I apologize to the classmates that didn't get to sit and have a nice discussion with you tonight.
Well, tell them to check in on Wayne Bennett's podcast and be a regular.
I will get regular. That's exactly right.
All right, guys. Well, thank you.
Thank
we
you.
Want to
thank
get a picture.
You.
Class of 1967, it's time to go. What a weekend. Hope you had great fun, because we sure did. Laughing, reminiscing, and sharing lots of precious memories. Now grab that special someone, pull them close, and dance to this classic just for old time's sake. It can be the 1950s. It can be the 1960s or 2022. Just let your mind flow, and there you are. The song may end, but the melody lives on.